All right. So I guess this is going to be a two-parter because I done talked myself into a corner. So we're gonna try and get some of it done. How about that? Kingdom of God Part 6. All right. So present and yet coming, that's the kingdom, right? Jesus said 2,000 years ago, he said the kingdom of God is at hand, is present, and yet is not fully realized. It's yet coming. We're going to realize it. The days we find ourselves living in are days that I believe will require our attention on the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, same thing, like never before, right? And why is this? And I say that because everything that can be shaken is being shaken right now. It's just where we are. Nations, governments, in our nation, every institution, CIA being shaken, FBI being shaken. Come on now, people's confidence being shaken. Look, for those of you that work with the public, I work with the public. I'm in people's homes. They talk to me. People are scared to death. People are scared. Why? Because they don't know what's going to happen. The same thing I experienced when we had COVID. This one woman, she was losing her mind while I was cleaning her car. She was running around. I'm like, ma'am, down. You understand? At least as long as I'm in here cleaning this, I get out of here, then you. But I will pray for you first. Okay? But she needed. No, that's what I'm saying. Hello. You know, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. But I might not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. And so this woman has no clue. She has no idea. All she knows is what she sees. But we know better than that, right? So everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Everything physical upon which man relies is uncertain. Yeah, especially when your nation is sitting on top of some tectonic plates, and at any given time, your world can come crashing down. Hello, right?
Yep.
So this includes all nations. Paul said this, or the writer of Hebrews said this in chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, are you receiving a kingdom? Or if you, I am. If you didn't know you're receiving the kingdom, know it now. You are receiving a kingdom. Okay, it is here, present now, and yet coming in its fullness. He says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hey, this Jesus, this kingdom cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That unshakable kingdom Daniel prophesied about it in Daniel chapter 7, where he said, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Now, why is that so important? It's important because in Genesis chapter 2, God gave Adam, God, they said, let us make man in our image, Genesis 1:26, and let him have dominion over and rule. Adam never fulfilled that. Never fulfilled it. But what God says he's going to do, he's going to do. So when Adam did not fulfill it, God came through Adam's seed and set his son upon the throne. And to him, that's why Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go therefore, preach the gospel to all nations. Matthew 28 and 19, right? So Jesus now has been given the dominion. And here we see, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. Are all people doing that yet? No. All people not worshiping Jesus. That's why we said the kingdom is present and yet coming, and it's going to come in its full. Yeah. And those people, all nations and languages on the earth, they are going to worship him. Hello. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. Some people say they don't know if they're seeing American democracy pass away right before our eyes. Hey, it could be. No, who thinks America is eternal? Well, you remember the Roman Empire? Yeah, it lasted 1,500 years, they say, in some form or another. And they thought they were going to rule. Nope, doesn't work like that.
Right.
Heaven rules in the kingdom of men. Heaven rules. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one, which shall not be destroyed. Presidents come and go in this country. Kings die over in England. Queens die, you know. Because we must. But this kingdom. Let me digress for a little bit. I just got to share this. You see here where it says in verse 13, one like unto the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, when you walk outside and see the clouds. I walk outside and I see the clouds. I like looking at the clouds, looking at the sky and everything, marveling in God's creation. But when Daniel prophesied this, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 24, they said, what will be the signs of your coming? And Jesus said this as part of his answer to them. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. That is a direct reference to Daniel chapter 7, which Jesus said, pulled that prophecy forward somewhat, was it 700 years, something like that, Daniel had prophesied that and saw this vision of heaven. Jesus brings it to the now reality to say, yeah, this is coming. This is going to happen. He's coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then he told the Pharisees, the scribes, and the people who were interrogating him in Matthew 26. We read, then Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, I say to you, the God who said, let there be light, the God who said, take some of that into the master of the feast, the water that was turned to wine. The God who said all of that said to them, you will see the Son of Man sitting up on the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. There it is again. He's coming on the clouds.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus is coming, church. He's Amen. Coming. He's the head of the church, and he's on his way. Hey, we don't know the exact hour. We don't know the exact time, but he's coming. Hmm? And he put in the cosmos the means of his coming every day so we can be reminded.
Amen.
I don't know if you think about rain when you see clouds. I think about clouds. I'm like, he's coming back on the clouds. Yeah, he's coming back. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Paul said, then we who are alive and remain, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Are those clouds that Jesus coming back on? I don't know. But yay, here we are with the clouds. Huh? We're going to meet the Lord. He's going to be coming. They're going to be coming. The dead in Christ are going to be coming. With the clouds, and the we who are alive in the rain are going to be caught up with them in the clouds.
Amen.
Some teach that those are the clouds Jesus coming back on. Can you imagine that? We whipped up in the clouds, all so we stand, we there looking at you.
Yep. That's it.
Here we go.
Amen.
My goodness.
Amen.
How we always be with the Lord. John told us, encouraged, the Revelator told us in Revelation 1, behold, he is coming with clouds. Now look here. In Acts chapter 1, I didn't put that one up here, but it comes to mind. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus was telling them what was going to happen. The Bible says that there came some space and parted them, a cloud that parted them, and Jesus ascended up into heaven. He ascended up into a cloud. Huh? And the disciples were standing there looking up as Jesus went, and two angels on the side said, why are you standing up there, gazing up into heaven? The same way you saw him go with the clouds, he's coming back.
Amen.
Clouds.
That's true.
And every day we see clouds and don't think nothing of it. I wish that cloud get out my way. I want to see, oh, Jesus. Oh, God, have mercy on us. So back to Daniel chapter 7, because I want to focus in on verse 14. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And so we are part of this kingdom that Christ is the king of. Why are we a part of it? Because he has made us worthy through his own blood. And he's brought us. What is Ephesians says? Is Ephesians or Colossians or Philippians says that God has brought us in Ephesians into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Oh, Jesus. We in over our heads. I mean, he's good beyond comprehension. And yet he's revealing himself. Amen. As we behold his image in a mirror, right? We are being changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. So his kingdom is and yet is to come for all peoples, nations, and languages. What I first want to show us as I segue into, I want to go into the book of Matthew. There's so much about the kingdom of God. This series is not about to end anytime soon. I'm thinking it's going through March, perhaps even through April. We'll see. But just so that we're clear on Jesus equating the two, using the two synonymously. In Matthew 13:11, this is Jesus answering and said, to you it has been given, because the disciples were saying, you know, how is it that these people don't understand what you're saying? And he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. The King James Version, New King James Version perhaps says, to you is known to the mysteries of the kingdom. Mysteries are hidden things. Huh? They're hidden things. So here he says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Yet in Luke chapter 8, Luke records Jesus is saying, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. So he said the same thing about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, right? Because it applies equally, one and the same. And yet there are, when Christ talks about the kingdom of heaven, as we'll see in particular in the book of Matthew, he uses so many parables to describe the kingdom of heaven. He does not do that in the other synoptic gospels with the kingdom of God. He's not as much as about explaining the kingdom of God as the kingdom of God is active all around people. You understand? And that people are coming into it. But in the kingdom, in the book of Matthew, in the kingdom of heaven, he goes to great lengths to describe, says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. And for the want of the treasure, he took all of his money, so spent it all to buy the field that contained the treasure. So he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, right? And we hear often people say, give your times, talents, and treasure to the Lord, right? We'll get into that later, a later sermon. Now, what I want to do is go through Matthew chapter 5. We will see if we get through all of this today. But Matthew chapter 5, where Christ is gone up on a mountain, his disciples have come to him. And he began to teach them. And he started out and he said this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Somebody said, I don't even know what the poor in spirit is, but I know it's me. Yeah. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So he started out in verse 3, and he stopped in verse 10, and both those sandwiches, those bookends make a sandwich, and all those in between are qualities of the kingdom of heaven, right? So Let's see, did I put? Yeah, I did. He says in verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Because everything that is going on in this kingdom, who's it about? Yeah, let's be clear. Let's be clear. It is about the king. Because it's not about me. Not about us. It's about our king. But our king is so awesome. See, when you understand how awesome he is and what he does, he said, hey, come up in my throne and sit with me. He's not like us. He's not like us. Say, you sit down there. You understand? He said, Jesus said, it's my father. I want you to sit in my throne as my father has me sitting in his throne. We are. In a million, septillion, quintillion years, never ask God, let me sit in your throne with you. Jesus said, come here, sit with me in my throne. Oh, God. Gonna be like, have not seen, ears have not heard, it hasn't even entered into the heart of man what God done prepared. Trying to tell you, this thing is, this kingdom of God is like nothing that you, it's beyond imagination.
It is.
It's beyond imagination.
It's never in our mind. Right.
Folks, y'all gonna be
right.
It's gonna be God, how can you be this? How can you be so good? You know, I ask him. Because his goodness is beyond. Is it, you know, David talks about it in the Psalm. Says his mercies reach to the clouds. You know, his that he said, you know, he said, as far as the east is from the west. As far as the north is from the south. Paul said, the love of God is beyond all of that. In other words, there are no dimensions to contain.
Right.
God.
Yeah.
There's no dimension.
No time.
Here.
Right.
There's here that can communicate who he is. And yet he's revealing himself to us.
Right.
On a daily basis. And then when that day comes, he's going to say, look at my God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, indeed. And one fella thought he was going to be playing golf in heaven. I said, bro, you can play in golf if you want to. I tell you, I got other plans. Like, no.
Yeah.
There's no dimensions to him.
Yes.
He can't contain him.
No.
Himself, the heavens of heavens can't tell me, I don't dwell in a house made with hands. He says, no, that can't contain who I am. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what Jesus is doing here is allowing us to understand that the kingdom of heaven determines the true state of things here on earth.
Mm.
Let me say that again. The kingdom of heaven determines the true state of things here on earth. So we look at this, for instance. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, that's what the scripture says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit here. Right? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, not only there, but here in our midst. Right? Let me see if I can explain it better. The Amplified Version reads this way: blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous. Notice the dichotomy, because what the human, the systems of this world, you know, exalts. Elon Musk is great in people's eyes because he's materially prosperous. He's financially prosperous. No, it's the exact opposite. Doesn't matter in the kingdom. But are we getting it? Do we live that? Hello? Do we get it? Spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction. That woman who was a billionaire who was fell hanging from the ceiling, she didn't have satisfaction. She had $1 billion. She was a billionaire. But she didn't have life, joy, and satisfaction. That's why she hung herself. Now.
Mm.
Christian. We are to be, saying God can make rich.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said how hard it is, children, for a rich man to enter the kingdom. There's a reason for that. win the lottery, say, oh, to be praying for him, I'm a woman. No, people win the lottery say, God, who? Until I go, you know, skip and go south, and they be like, oh, me. No, it's not the hard times, you know, when everything going right that we're changed by him. It's when you down on your back, you think it's the last count. Yeah, it's over. David said to Jonathan, he said, Jonathan, don't you understand there is but a step between me and death? David said, death was right on his back. He said, I'm about to death. Your father about to kill me, man. But God was with David. Went on all running through the wilderness, God was with him. Mm-hmm. But when everything was good for David, he sitting up on the pillow. See, but he got it. Well, anyhow, let's get to it. With life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition. That's going to come into play now here in these days we're living in. Because things about to go crazy. The poor in spirit, the humble, who rate themselves as insignificant. The word in the Greek means those people that crouch. Mm-hmm. You ever had to crouch? A beggar, a pauper. Mm-hmm. You ever been so low? You didn't know if you're going to come up again. I told you last week, we're living in the projects in the ghetto. My mother on the phone, me and my twin sister, we sat there and ate a head of lettuce. Mm-hmm. Dinner. You know what lettuce do for you? Absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. You eat a head of lettuce, you might as well eat in the wind. Because, you know, you're a growing child. You run around playing, you burn that up in a second. And we sitting there like, that's it?
Yeah.
That was it. You talking about born in spirit. You talking about broke down. You talking about, what that's like. Well, Jesus said this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. According to Jesus, the person who has nothing to offer and realizes his beggarly condition is the one who is blessed in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because he realizes he needs the king. Right. The people that turn to Jesus are the people that realize they needed Jesus. They needed the king. Why? Because they heard him speak. And through his speaking, he called them unto himself, and they came. The Pharisees said, no. Matter of fact, we think you got a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And his own town tried to throw him off a cliff. Said, hey, yeah, walk over here. We're going to deal with you. Yeah, that's what they thought about the God of heaven. Huh? Yeah. Do you consider yourself the cream of the crop? Better than others? Because we are living in America, so... We're the greatest nation, the greatest civilization. We have the greatest military. We have this. We have that. We got to say, God, please have mercy on us. Every time we say it, Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy. Because the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, he did the same thing. And Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And despised others. So there's two things going on there. They thought they were righteous, which they weren't. Because no, there is none righteous before God. No, not one. Right? And they despised others. We got a whole bunch of people despising people in America. We have much, but we don't want to help anyone. Ukraine don't help no immigrants. Hey, it's us and us only. Careful. Yeah. Watch out. Because God may have something planned for us. Hello? Be careful. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed this with himself. Oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Look, when somebody else come up in your prayers that you got a diss, okay, you done missed it. Yeah, if you gotta put people down in order for you to seem tall, I missed it. He goes on, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector standing afar off. You talk about somebody beat down a beggar. You talk about someone, who was poor in spirit. The beggar would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. All right, God. Hey, Jesus. Was at a house cleaning carpet outside, pulling my hoses in. A Hispanic man, whatever, I don't know what country he's from. I saw him turn around and I saw him, and he wanted to use some water. And he was so beat down. He was looking at me like sheepishly, and he kept looking down as if to, you know, I'm nothing. This is, I know you're working here and everything. And when I saw that, I almost broke out in tears because I knew where he was. I know that feeling. I know what it feels like to be put down. Person don't know you. They're just putting you down for who they perceive you are. And I told that man, I said, hey, come on up here, man. Go get the water. Get what you need, man. It's for everybody. This ain't for, come on up. He's like, okay. Said, Jesus. Some people don't know Jesus. Jesus came for people like that. He came for people like that because that was you and me. What do we have to offer God? We couldn't look at him. No, but Jesus came arm over arm. All you who labor in a heavy laden, come unto me. You'll find rest for your soul. Jesus came. God came for this man. This collector couldn't even raise his eyes up to heaven. Or beat his breast and said, God be merciful. God see on me. And Jesus said this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified by God. Listen, only God can justify you. Only God can justify you. He went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. It didn't say may be humbled. He said they will be humbled. All proud people in the earth, humble yourselves now before it comes. Because I got news for you. God does not lie. It's coming. It's coming. He who humbles himself will be exalted. You remember when Jesus, when the disciples asked Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? You remember that? James and John, they were like, yeah. And all the disciples said, who's the greatest? And Jesus sat down and called a child over to himself, sat him on his lap. And he said, unless you become like this child, which is the greatest, you become humble, you can't be great in the kingdom of heaven. You can't be great. James and John and John, their mother came to Jesus one time and said, hey, listen, I want my son to sit on the right and your left hand. In other words, they're going to be your right and left hand men. And Jesus, you know, of course he asked them, can you drink the cup? They said, yeah, we are going to drink the cup. And we saw James drink it in Acts chapter 12 because the Bible says Herod killed James with the sword. Oh, yeah, he drunk. He drunk. He drunk it, okay? But Jesus, you know what he told them? He said, the greatest among you, let him be your servant. Anybody serving people? Are we serving? Do we understand this kingdom language? Do we understand what Jesus is saying? No. Christ, the King of the kingdom, informs his disciples, his followers, that one is blessed in the kingdom when they realize their condition. Even we see it in the book of Revelation when Jesus said to the Laodicean, he says, you say, he said, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. Imagine a church saying this. This was a church. They want to say, I can't start sinning without you, Lord. I must have you, oh God. Like the song we just sang, right? No, they said, yeah, we got all we need, bro. Look here, we got money in the bank. Hey, we banking. And we got everything we need. You need some? We got plenty. And do not know that you are wretched. The people who said they were rich and didn't need anything, Jesus said, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Yeah. The people who were outwardly rich were spiritually poor. But the people that were physically or financially poor in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 were spiritually rich. For you know what it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And that means spiritually rich. I've heard pastors teach it means And I'm like, Jesus, what? Mm-hmm. How do we do this? How do we do this? Mm-hmm. Though Christ was rich, he wasn't rich on earth to give you earthly riches. He was poor when he was here. Mm-hmm. He says the same man has nowhere to lay his head. No, he was rich in the things of the Spirit, rich in his relationship with God, rich in the things that really matter. And for your sakes, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And he's telling this poor church here, he says, you need to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you might become rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Every time one of us pastors are outed because we were sleeping around with someone, our nakedness is revealed. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. And you know, but we ask him, God, please, Lord, before I bring shame to your name, take me home.
Mm-hmm.
Take me home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to bring reproach to your name, because look at what you've done for us. For me. Jesus says this, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on. Right, my God. If I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne, to be clear here, their throne is the same throne. It's the same throne. And he's gonna have us sit with him in the throne. That's what he wanted to do when he said, hey, Adam. Mm-hmm. He said, here's the animals that I've made. You name them. Mm-hmm. You know, when you name something, it's because you have dominion over it. You name that thing. Hello. And he was bringing Adam along with him. Adam growing up, you know, under God. And he's naming the things that God made. But as soon as he fell, Adam didn't name anything else. He even named Eve before he fell, because he recognized by the revelation of God that God came out of man. She shall be called woman. My pastor used to say, a man with a womb. I was like, Pastor, please stop that. All right. So let's go through these quickly. Blessed are those who mourn. Anybody mourning? Anybody that mourn? Well, guess what? Just hang in there, because time of mourning is coming. That's just this life, right? But Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. In Luke's gospel, it's weep, to grieve or to wail loudly, for they shall be comforted. And that word comfort means to call near. It's the same word for where we get the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the comforter. For all those who mourn, prophecy out of Isaiah, that God was going to comfort all those who mourned in Zion. He was going to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Hey, they will be called trees of righteousness, the scripture says. Blessed are the meek. That word meek means mild, gentle. For they shall inherit the earth. You know, today, but you know how the world system works? Oh, we've already seen it. You thump your chest. Trump said, I'm going to take Greenland, Canada. People say, he doesn't mean it. Doesn't matter. He said it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that because I'm big and bad, and I'm just going to do it. Well, that's the exact opposite of the kingdom. Oh, Jesus, people don't know what to make of the cross to the people who don't, who aren't in the kingdom. They don't know what to make. How could that be God on the cross? Why? Because every time they go to a superhero movie, they think that's how God gonna be. Now, I ain't never seen nobody come out of a superhero movie with a revelation of the kingdom of God. Because it doesn't work like that. You want to see the epitome? You want to see the exact representation of humility? Look at Christ. For being found in the likeness of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation and humbled himself. Philippians 2. To the death of the cross. Right? For they shall inherit the earth. Now, all of this is about the kingdom. Now, what's so beautiful about this is that the meek didn't do anything to it. They're going to inherit the earth, but it's not because they did something to inherit the earth. Hello. Because they're changed into his nature. They take on his nature. Blessed, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do we long for equity and righteousness? Do we long for it all to be right? Everybody wants justice in this world. But some people want justice for themselves, not for everybody. Hello? Yeah. No, and there are people on this planet who are hungry and thirst. They're crying out. There are people in Jesus' day crying out for righteousness, crying out who are hungry and thirst. Simeon was waiting for the kingdom of God, said, not Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. He was waiting for the kingdom of God. They were thirsting and longing for it. Jesus says, that gnawing, empty feeling in you, I'm going to satisfy it. In the kingdom of heaven, it will be satisfied. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. My God, my God. I'm reminded of Micah 6:8, which says, for he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what shall the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy. Do we love mercy? Let me point you to some people. They want to kill everybody. They want everybody who not like them. They're like, hey, not here. Not here. There were some people over in Ohio run across the bridge, some when the neo-Nazis or Ku Klux Klan, whatever they were, they were like, yeah, y'all get out of here. The brothers rolled up on them with some guns. I was like, no, brothers, that's not how we do it. They're like, yeah, that's how we do it. You know, it's interesting how things work. Because I'm, you know, today, I'm not the person going to run out in the street with a gun. Mm-hmm. There are some people who will. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it takes all types. You're be like, yay, takes all types. But for us in the kingdom, this is so important because James says judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. You want mercy? Be merciful. Be merciful. United States, you want mercy? Be merciful. I'm not saying you don't have laws. I'm not saying you don't have borders. I'm saying be merciful. Be merciful. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Who is pure in heart? Psalm 130. David said, Lord, if you should count iniquities, who would stand? He said.
Right.
Seeing that there's no pure in heart. Not one. No, not one. But once, however, the King of the kingdom has revealed to you what he delights in, then we align our hearts with what he desires. And from that standpoint, we are pure in heart. We desire what God wants, right?
Amen.
For they shall see God. Those who align themselves with what he wants are going to enjoy his presence. They're going to see God. Yeah. You remember, what's that fellow's name? Numbers 22. Yeah, Balaam. He wasn't listening to God. And so The next time he was in God's presence, he was about to die. Angel had to sort out. He said, don't you know, if it wasn't for your donkey,
right,
it's going to murder you. I'm going to kill you.
Right.
Because your heart's not right with me. Oh, no, but those whose hearts are right with God, they're going to enjoy God's presence. They're going to see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Makes sense because Jesus is the King of Peace. Hebrews, Melchizedek, King of Salem, King of Peace. Therefore, his followers will be peacemakers, not hellmakers. Hello. Peacemakers, not hellmakers. Members of Congress call themselves Christians, saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do to people. With big old guns shooting things, blowing up. I'm like, oh, are you serious? No, you're not a Christian. Hello. Not the type he said that is going to be in his kingdom. He said, because many people say, but they don't do the will of my Father who's in heaven. Talk is cheap on our hand. God is the only one who has never said a word he didn't mean. He's the only one who's never uttered a word that he did not bring to pass. Do you understand who God is?
Amen, brother.
He's so awesome. Okay, so these verses are enclosed by the bookends that reveal that they will be fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven. Because we get down to verse 10 and we read, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I'm going a little bit long here. Let's see. Oh, I'm almost done. Yeah. Hold on. Who persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what do we learn here? We learn that if you walk with Christ, you are going to be persecuted at some point. But Jesus said, what you need to understand is that you are blessed. But God, they did that. And hopefully in the process, Hebrews chapter 10, in the process, the writer of Hebrews says, yeah, they robbed you, they took your stuff, and they said, and you were okay with it because you know that you have an enduring substance in heaven. When the saint is persecuted for righteousness' sake, God uses that to turn their affections from the things of earth to the things of heaven. That's what Paul said in Colossians 3:1. That seeing that you have died with Christ, set your affections on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set not your affections on the things of the earth, but on the things of heaven. And persecution, God uses to redirect our attention, to redirect our focus and our desires. For theirs, because here's the focus, it's not the persecution. Though that's where we would love to hang out, because we love this body so much. Time, I don't know if you ever had your heart do cartwheels inside of your chest. Well, I have, and let me tell you what that does to you. It says, it does this to you. Well, yeah, I know one day I'm getting a body here. And when it happens, God is just. And every moment I'm breathing now, God is good. And I give him thanks and praise. Oh, yeah, he sort of let you know, it brings you into reality that this life is short. What Job said, Job 14, he said, man who is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. That's what Job said. Man who is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. Now, that doesn't mean I believe I'm going to die young or anything like that. I'm a prophet. Years ago, never even mentioned. Say, hey, God said, you're going to be old. You're going to be old gray-haired man. You're going to be old fella. I said, okay, I'll take it. You know, whatever. You know, but what does that mean? That's relative. I don't know what that means. I can be old now, right? But blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, God, fix our attention and our gaze on the kingdom of God. That's what I'm trying to say through all of this, in case you're not getting, in case I mess it up so bad, you just don't get it. I'm trying to say that God is focusing our attention on his kingdom. And since righteousness is a value of the kingdom of heaven, though one is persecuted for it, that person is favored. and well off because of it. They're blessed. And we would do well to focus on the blessedness of being persecuted for righteousness' sake instead of on the persecution. Why? Because ours is the kingdom of heaven. This is not our home.
Right.
We constantly have to be reminded.
Yeah.
This is not our home.
Right.
And every time we go to a funeral, every time we hear so-and-so pass, we're reminded again. And if we let that work in us, yeah. Jesus said, Father, deliver me from this hour, but for this hour I was born. He said, I'm going to the cross. He walked straight at it. Hello? We trying to run and dodge and dive and everything. Oh, God. Okay. What I got? Three more verses? Three more slides, I guess. Jesus went on and said in verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Everything, all of this persecution, people speaking bad of you. You know, in Canada, they passed a law that you can't speak against homosexuality. You can't preach the Bible. You just can't do it because it impinged on people's rights. And there were pastors up there persecuted for preaching the gospel. If this happens here, well, we're just going to keep preaching the scripture. And then y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me because I'm going to jail. Preach the word. Whatever happens, preach the word. You know why? Because God living on the inside of me, I cannot deny him.
Right.
Jesus said, if you deny me, deny you before my Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. I know. Listen, did you not know that? Who? Me? 60 years old. I live. Oh, I'm good. I'm living life. I'm enjoying everything. Thank God. But hey, if I have to suffer, if I get to suffer for my king, Jesus said this, rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Are we there yet? I know some people are like, oh, no. No, because everything is focused on here and now. Jesus said, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
They looked at that, the reward. I'm looking at that. When I see us sitting in the throne with the because the moment I close my eyes here, I'm gonna open. I'm present with the Lord, absent from
Amen.
The. I'm present with the Lord in all glory, dominion, authority. I am present with Him. Hello, God help us. That's to be our focus. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before them. And just to show you that they lived that out in the book of Acts. So when the Sanhedrin persecuted Peter, James, and John, we read in Acts chapter 5, and they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, that was Gallio. This man said, "Hey, don't fool with these people. If they're not of God, they're gonna fade away. But if they are of God, you can't fight against God. Leave them alone." And they agreed with him. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council. Listen, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Right.
People to that place. To that place. That we to the reward of heaven, that it doesn't matter what you do to this body. Because Paul said this, that we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Hard times coming for Christians. Some of our experience. Dietrich Bonhoeffer already gave his life. Hello. People dying in Muslim countries, in Africa, in the Middle East, and they're giving their lives. Right? I close with this. Matthew 6:33, we can all quote it by heart. But seek ye first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Are we seeking first the kingdom? When we get up and go about our way tomorrow in the world that's under the sway of the wicked one, are we seeking first God's kingdom? Are we being humble? Are we being merciful? Are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Are we poor in spirit and trusting God and believing him for everything? Are we being persecuted for righteousness' sake falsely, not because we deserve it? God help us. Proverbs says, when a righteous man falls before the wicked, it's like a polluted spring. And yet Christians falling left and right, pastors falling left and right and saying, God, be merciful to us. Okay, I know I've gone long. I know I've gone long. But this was just for today. All right. Any questions or comments on the teaching? All right, church. Thank you for coming on today. It's good seeing you all. Pray the blessing, the Lord's blessing upon the balance of your Sunday and your week.
Amen. Amen.
If you need a prayer request, just text and we're gonna call on heaven. So God bless you.
Lord.
Amen. Amen.